हरिः ॐ
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Six at the bottom. On understanding the subject, knowledge should be spontaneously. Should be pond. Spontaneously.
Arise.
Arise. Oh, there, because
it's so high up. I thought it was the page title.
Okay.
It
has arisen up to the higher. Okay. Okay. Footnote 9. From studying the Brahma Sutra, one should develop realization of the Lord. Right? Yeah, because the subject matter, as we said, is the Tato Brahma Jigyasa. Right? Inquire about the Supreme. That's what it's about, the Vedanta Sutra. So that means by studying it, you should get knowledge of the Supreme. And so to have knowledge of the Supreme, you have to have proper knowledge. That means anything that's not proper should be adjusted with. Right? So therefore, all the six schools should be brought into the proper perspective. Then one can have a proper understanding of the Supreme. Right? Because they're all discussing the Supreme in some aspect and their processes and all that. But to get to the actual position of understanding the Supreme, that has to be done through Vedanta Sutra. Right? Done. These elements of Panchanga Nyaya can be categorized into Vastu Traya as follows. Sambandha, Vishaya, subject, or Pratigya, thesis. And Samshaya, doubt, or Hetu, reasons. Abhideya, Purvapaksha, your antithesis, or Udharana, example. And Uttara, alternate viewpoint, or Upanaya, further explanations. Right? So this is all the body of the discussion. Right? In the beginning, you're going to make your point, they're going to make their points. Right? Then after that, then you're going to then get into the discussion. So then they're going to give their reasons, you're going to give your reasons, and examples and all that, further discussions, everything like that. That's the body of the main thing, right? Because if logic is what you're talking about, then you have what you're going to discuss, then you're going to how you're going to discuss it. Right? Then Prayojana, Nirnaya, synthesis, correct conclusion, or Siddhanta, Nigamana, supporting quotations from Scripture. Like that. Does that make sense? So the thing is, technically, is when how you say, yeah, yes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains the application of the Adhikarana. Quote: through the various Upanishadic mantras, though the various Upanishadic mantras have apparently conflicting features, they are reconciled by the aphorisms of Sri Vyas in his Uttaramimamsa philosophy under different systematic logical categories known as Nyayas or Adhikaranas. Each theme of an Adhikarana has fully dealt with by Panchanga or fivefold positions of the logical system to meet all opposing controversies. Sri Chaitanya's Teachings 174.
Do you give the rest of it where he's probably saying is that this is how Vaishnavas discuss and all that? That'll come.
Oh, it's down here. Oh, 10. Okay. He further states, no subject matter can be confidently accepted unless it passes through the five processes of logical or rational departments. Sri Chaitanya's Teachings 184. For this reason, Panchanga Nyaya is known as the Padartha Anuman, or method used for convincing others.
Right, so this is a standard method. We may not know about it like that, but it's actually the standard method. As we've been seeing, as we go through the purports, then we many times see the purports are divided into this Panchanga Nyaya. Like that. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's a very standard method. All the acharyas use it, and this. That's why much of the time it's hard to understand, because we don't catch the actual academic position of it. It appears, oh, Prabhupada's purport, they're very just simple, they're meant for the layman. It's using words that the layman can relate to, right? But the composition of it is so developed that the academics can't even see it. Bless their little souls. You know what I'm saying? They can't see that logic, the logical or rational departments are being presented in the purports. They just don't see it. So it's always said, oh, his is very simple. But it's not just the Western scholars that make this mistake. Even the Indian scholars will make the same mistake. But those who actually are well versed in this system, they don't make that mistake. They don't make the mistake. I remember we were talking with one, big scholar, recognized scholar in the Sri Sampradaya. That, you know, you have so many who are, you have your priests and all that. You have your practicing devotees, you have your priests, they know the rituals nicely, they know their philosophy like this. Then you have those that specialize in the rituals and all that. And so they do all the big programs, deity installations, festivals, things like that. Then you have those that study specifically philosophy. And they know the philosophy very, very well. So this is one such. He was probably, he was probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the Sri Sampradaya. And he used to come out with a periodical and like that, and he was well respected. And we were having a discussion one day. I don't remember the verse, but I think it's one of the, might have been 1155 or one of the last verses in one of the chapters where it's a very major conclusion. And the guy was talking with Atmatattva, and he was relating that he's so amazed. He says, because this is such an important verse, the purport. He says, Ramanujacharya writes 26 pages explaining this verse. That's a big purport, right? Even Prabhupada's doing a big purport, 3, 4, 5, 6, sometimes a few, 8, 10, but it's very rare. There's 26 pages, Ramanuja. So, technical, really going for it. And he says, but the amazing thing is, he said, that in half a page, Prabhupada had done the same thing. This is scholars. And everybody else, don't mind, but to quote Srila Prabhupada, we kick on their face. And if they think the Prabhupada stuff is just common stuff for that, and they're so intelligent, they have missed so much. Hence, they do not understand the philosophy or mood of Srila Prabhupada. Very straightforward. You have faith in Guru and in Krishna, implicit faith, everything will be revealed. So if it's not revealed, what does that mean? There's something lacking in faith. It's not intelligence, it's faith. The Brahmin in South, therefore Lord Chaitanya, the story is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Brahmin in South India. He couldn't read. And the other pandits are, joking about him, how he should read, he's a Brahmin, this, that. So he gets out of Gita and he's sitting down. But when he puts it down, because he doesn't know how to read, it's upside down. So all the other pandits are laughing and joking and pointing and this and that, having a great time. Lord Chaitanya comes by and sees this Brahmin there. And this Brahmin is crying. And so he asks him, why is he crying? He says, because you have the Supreme Personality of God, who's the controller of everything. And he is being the chariot driver of his devotee. So Lord Chaitanya said, he's the greatest scholar. And all the other guys are standing around, they're all bozos. So
So just to make it clear in this class, anybody who uses modern or Vedic scholarship to try to point out Prabhupada's position is less is a bozo when it comes to this. They may be great in other areas, respected, you know, intelligent, and yes, we give that all to them. But when it comes to this one point about Prabhupada's position, they're bozos. They're totally missing the point. It doesn't matter how much they talk and this and that. They are missing the point. So Prabhupada uses this, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses, Vishwanath Baladev, they use it, Jiva Goswami, they all use it. It's just the Vedic standard of intelligence. And if they can't see it, that is their weakness, their lack, their fault, their lack of training, their lack of desire to be trained. And I say this strongly, because we're talking about the founder Acharya. If everybody wants to, you know, point out the founder Acharya, let them step forward and make their intentions clear. Let them make it clear that, no, my attachments are so much more important, my intelligence is so much greater, my viewpoint is so much better. Let them make it clear. Stop hiding behind all this Western sophistry that they're so special and so intelligent. Because this is the point right here. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, no subject matter can be confidently accepted unless it passes through these five processes. And if you use the academic method, it does not pass through these processes. Because it never comes to conclusion. And unless you brought it to conclusion, you haven't done. Notice it's thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. The synthesis is in the fourth position, right? Conclusion's in the fifth. They never make it. They get so close, never make it. There's an African saying, he worked so hard, climbed all the way to the top of the mountain, only to fall down the other side. That's the problem. So, as what's his name? Sahadev said in the Rajasuya sacrifice, anybody has a complaint about Krishna, he stuck out his left foot. You can come here and stick your head. I will kick it for you. So Prabhupada and the Acharyas, what they're saying, this is perfection, and if anybody is a fool enough to think that it's not, they can come forward and I will, you know, humbly with the best of my ability, kick them on their face. Like that. It's an open invitation. Anyone can come forward. Just trying to be broad-minded. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Next point. About this study guide. About lunch today. Okay. In the Sri and Madhva Sampradayas, their bhashyas, commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, are given primary importance. The Gaudiya tradition, in contrast, places more importance on studying Srimad Bhagavatam than on Baladev Vidyabhushan's Govinda Bhashya. Hence, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may question the need to study Vedanta Sutra. Srila Prabhupada addresses this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Purport, Adi Lila 7.102. The Mayavadi sannyasis, appreciating Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inquired from him why did he not discuss Vedanta philosophy. Actually, however, the entire system of Vaishnava activities is based on Vedanta philosophy. Vaishnavas do not neglect Vedanta, but they do not care to understand Vedanta on the basis of the Sharirika Bhashya commentary. Therefore, to clarify the situation, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the permission of the Mayavadi sannyasis, wanted to speak regarding Vedanta philosophy. The Vaishnavas are by far the greatest philosophers in the world, and the greatest among them was Srila Jiva Goswami, Prabhu, whose philosophy was again presented less than 400 years later by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Therefore, one must know very well that Vaishnava philosophers are not sentimentalists or cheap devotees like the Sahajiyas. All the Vaishnava Acharyas were vastly learned scholars who understood Vedanta philosophy fully, For unless one knows Vedanta philosophy, he cannot be an Acharya. To be accepted as an Acharya among Indian transcendentalists who follow the Vedic principles, one must become a vastly learned scholar in Vedanta philosophy, either by studying it or hearing it. Right, so since it's about the philosophy, we're gaining it from the Bhagavatam. Therefore, Prabhupada had daily the Bhagavatam class, so that we're daily hearing, like that, and then even in the Gita. So, and then we're supposed to read. So, basically, you could say is that, you know, 3.5-4 hours a day, Prabhupada was kind of expecting that devotees would be hearing or discussing the philosophy, like that. And so. This is then the point. You can either sit down and from that point read it and understand it, or by hearing it then understand and apply it. But in any case, it's that exposure to the Vedanta that is then what we do. Bhakti develops in pursuance of Vedanta philosophy. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.12. Tach tradanana muneyo jnana vairagya yuktaya prasanyatmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta gita taya. The words bhaktya shruta grihitaya in this verse are very important, for they indicate that bhakti must be based on the philosophy of the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra. There are different grades of Vaishnava. Yeah, so this, as we see, it always goes back. So Prabhupada's always taking it back to Gita, this, because it's that's recognized. Means all the sampradayas will recognize Gita. So therefore, then, by basing it on that, then it works. And we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his teachings, he's teaching the Dasamala Lord Chaitanya, but he's taking it back to the Upanishads and the Veda itself. So that no one can complain, oh, this is, okay, you guys made this up, but what about the Veda? Yes?
Can we say that Smriti should always be based upon Smriti?
Yes. So that's the point, is that Shruti, then you have, yes, it should always go back. So whether it's about the lifestyle and these and that's applications, or the philosophy and the metaphysics and all, it's all based on the Shruti. Right? So it means we'll base more on the metaphysics and the philosophy. You know, the others we practice, but it's not the main thing. While Purva Mimamsas, the Jaiminis, they'll put more on the verses and their application and ritual, right? Because they want the good karma. While we want to go beyond karma and go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Okay. There are different grades of Vaishnavas, Kanista Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. But to be a Madhyama Adhikari preacher, one must be a learned scholar in the Vedanta Sutra and the other Vedic literatures. Because when Bhakti Yoga develops on the basis of Vedanta philosophy, it is factual and steady. Right? So, factual and steady. Okay? So factual means it's clear, it's exact, it works, and steady. Because then you can maintain it. Right? We have the aspect is that we preach, we make devotees. What's the next step? I've asked many people, okay, now what are they supposed to do? Oh, they should go out and make devotees. Okay, and then what are those guys? They go out and make devotees. When does anybody become steady? When does anybody become trained? Right? Prabhupada said our centers are places of education. So that's the speciality, is that the attractive feature of the Lord, the philosophy, the attractive feature of the Lord, then that is there. That's what attracts people to Krishna consciousness. Right? The festivals, the activities, the interaction, the preaching. But then the next stage is the cultivation. Right? The next stage is, as Prabhupada put it, boiling the milk. Cooking it down, it comes thicker, it comes sweeter, it becomes nicer. So that we know what we're doing. We understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. Otherwise, you say, oh, why are you wearing these bed sheets? And in the modern context, it's, well, you know, you can do that, but actually you can wear it like this. They'll just sidestep it. They can't explain it. Yes?
So it appears that the deepness is in Sambhava, because we have a perfect for your kingdom.
Yes.
And paripeya is somehow
going on as something, but the nourishment in and there is not going on. Yes, that's what we're saying. The Vishwambhar aspect is not being done.
So this is because of lack of training.
Lack of training, because the point is in the thing is that, okay, we should be devotees, but there should be knowledge. So therefore then we're going to do activities of devotional service, but how developed are the skill if it's not based on knowledge? Right? So that whole cultivation between the knowledge, the attitude, the skill, all these different things. What is the goal? How to make that all fit nicely? That's what's lacking. And so, but we see is that professionals are very good. They do so many things like this. If somebody came along, I think back in the 90s, and brought out this thing is yes. If you're talking about economic development, then there's so many stages. I can't remember how many it was, 4 or 6 or something. And the first stage is panhandling. You go out on the street, you try to sell things, hawk things and that. And so therefore going out, book distribution, what we're doing is that. And then the last stage is people give you endowments, they give you their properties when they die and stuff like that. So therefore, somehow or another in that group, they thought, oh, our going out on the street and all that, and that is bad. So we should give that up because people will think bad about us. How many people have ever met somebody who in their will donates their estate or a library or a hospital to an institution? You go ahead, name me. How many people do you know like that? Right? Individuals may know, but the common people doesn't know. And then the common people are going to say, okay, this is bad? Because if you come from that background, you know you got to that point. That guy who gave his whole estate to some charity started out panhandling. That's where he started. That's why he has the estate. The guys that walk in as professionals, they die as professionals. They never give estates. I guarantee you, the middle managers in the corporate world are not giving their estates. They're just not. They're totally into the money, and they spend all their money. Hopefully they have a little bit left over, something to show.
How do we get into that?
Oh, about steadiness, yes. And so the whole point is that you have to have that complete thing. That's Vishwambhar. That is nourishment. So it means you have the knowledge, you have the attitude, you have the attraction, then you cultivate that in the association of devotees. That's what's done. So instead of doing it in the devotion, but we use the modern knowledge. We think becoming professional, now we've got knowledge. But where's the attitude? If you take it from the corporate world, what's the corporate world's attitude? Make profit, no matter what. Right? Use political correctness to spin doctor all the nonsense and make it look like it's fabulous. Right? I always remember on the airplanes, you get on, you look in the magazine, and you don't see it as much now, but you saw it, I don't know what, 8-10 years ago or something, a 5-page color spread, all natural this and countryside and just jungles and all that, about how, you know, the green and the importance of the environment and all that, and who is the one that that's their ad? An oil company. Right? One oil spill, how much damage? And they're doing, oh yes, the environment. You understand? So, political correctness, spin doctoring, all this is just for profit. That's all. Either economic or political, leverage. That's all. So, it has its use, but it's not cultivation. It's not nourishment. That's a skill. But it's not nourishment. So the whole point, unless we come to this next stage, then how does it become the madhyama? How does it become madhyama? Madhyama means there's nourishment. Kanista means there's skill, there's technique, there's knowledge. But when you apply that, that becomes nourishment. Right? So just like we like before, you have the how you say? sthana, right? The creation of the world, maintenance of the world. Then you have poshana, or nourishment. So poshana is only connected to the devotees, while sthana is connected to every other living entity. So for the devotees, then it's poshana. So that's the second aspect of Lord. When it says Lord Chaitanya had three principles, the first one was the preaching and all the things like that. It said it's external because it uses the mechanics of it. It doesn't mean that preaching is external. That's how the Sahajiyas take it. They don't preach. Right? But it means that there's a lot of focus on creating the environment that people can see and appreciate and be involved in. Then once you do that, then the second stage is that cultivation of relationship with the devotees and the Vaishnava interaction and culture. And the third is tasting than the love that Radha and Krishna have for each other. So these are the three aspects why he came. But this Madhyama platform means the second one. He's preaching, but he can also cultivate devotees. Like that. That's the important thing. The preaching, but you have to do the next stage also. Then, otherwise, how do you get to the last stage? Because if it's only about being professional, then hey, there's tons of professionals. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, there's no lack in the world. The only thing lacking is Krishna consciousness. Skill, technique, that's so many people have that. The Krishna consciousness, that's the one that's lacking. And the cultivation of Krishna consciousness with the devotees. So that's the next stage that has to be done. Right? See, yes.
I just wanted to add that in this Panchanga Nyaya itself, that aspect of hatred means a doubt, and as long as doubt is there, there cannot be stability.
Okay.
As long as we have doubts, we cannot be stable, we cannot be fully committed. And in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the result of study of this transcendental philosophy is asammoha, which he says is freedom from delusion and doubt. So then one can become very stable and steadily situated. So by studying the Vedanta, then you can become free from doubt and surrender and be stable.
Is that all clear? So in other words, it's like anartha nivriti. Anartha nivriti means that you're giving up the doubts and misgivings. So how is that done? The traditional system is through hearing, you know, and practicing. So we hear the how these things are not important, and we practice living that kind of lifestyle. So then this nyaya process is very much part of that cultivation. But because there's this idea that any knowledge is gyan, and we don't like gyan, so therefore throw it all out. But the point is no. But there's jnana yoga, engaging the jnana in the service of the Lord. Because if you follow karma, you come to the point of jnana. Karma yoga brings you to jnana yoga, brings you to bhakti yoga. It's natural. So there's this idea.
Because people are so engrossed with misgivings, they don't say jnana yoga, because they are very, very much open to karma yoga.
Yes. Karma yoga is there, but not jnana yoga. Or those who are into jnana yoga aren't open to karma yoga. It's all due to some attachment. That's what we were saying before. It's attachments. Attachments manifest as misgivings. Doubt means I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. I don't know the words. I don't know the definitions. I don't know how to connect them. So if you can explain and connect it, then my doubt's gone. But when it's this, no, I don't like this, that's attachment. If you say, you know, there's nothing to learn from the Indian culture, what does that mean? Why would they say that? If he says there's nothing to learn from cultures that are going on in the world today, you know, where are the cultured people? There isn't any culture, so there's nothing to learn in culture. Right? You understand? I don't hear that. You have to be, you know, an existentialist or something. You know, that takes too much brain. It says, oh, there's nothing to learn from India. So that means, oh, there is something to learn somewhere else?
I have something.
Yeah, of course. One's home country, one's particular area, region within the home country, the particular neighborhood within the country. That's what's meant. Because if you're from L.A., they don't like New York. New Yorkers, you know, who goes out to L.A.?
That prejudice against India is the basis of Western civilization.
Yes, it is. It has to be. It means up to the, basically, when was it? Before the mid-1800s, the European scholars, the scholars themselves appreciated the Indian intellect because it was just so much more developed. But then the problem is then how do you gain political and economic control if you're dealing with a superior culture? Right? So you have to put that culture down to gain economic and political superiority. Because that's all anybody wants. It's not that they're looking for more. You know what I'm saying? You know, is it that you know, the first world countries are going out to establish, you know, intellectual, how you say, dominance? No, it's economic and political. That's what people care about.
And so you can enslave somebody with soul. So.
True. So, yes. 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 That's what Prabhu's point was. Is that the logic is for removing doubt so that one's clear. Then one can be stable, right? Because as long as there's doubt, then one is within anishta bhakti. Right? Because you have nishta bhakti when you get to that, doubts have been removed, but when it's anishta, then it's not there. So process of anartha nivritti is removing those doubts. So then this is a very key point to doing it, is hearing the philosophy, trying to understand it in that, and try to apply it in your life. But if you don't apply it, you won't get the benefit. But just say, oh, I just do service, I don't worry about that. If you're not very intellectual, that'll work. Because then from that, knowledge and detachment will come. But if one's intellectual, and I don't apply my intellect to the Vedic, you know, in how you say, school, but I apply it to the modern, then that's misunderstanding or a misgiving. Yes, but the point is reaction is coming. How do you get a benefit? But okay, let us take a donkey. Okay. And in front of him is a female donkey, and he's, you know, in his little dinky steps running after her. And every few seconds, she's doing a full double hoof kick into his face. It means it's not a... I remember we were in South India, and that was somewhere where the dobies were, and they had donkeys, and you could watch them. They were doing it. Guy would run down the whole street, being kicked so many times in the face that he just keeps running. So are they learning? So it's only when you combine the understanding with the practice, that's called manana. If I only practice without the intelligence, yes, I'll get benefit if I'm really sincere and trying to please the Lord. Understand? Then that knowledge and that will come. That's why when the big scholar came to visit Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he wanted to discuss big philosophy and all that in Sanskrit. He said, you know, who can I? He says, oh, I have the perfect person you can talk to. And he sent him down to the Ghosh. He told him a name and said, you know, go talk to him. So the guy was very enthusiastic, goes out, where can I find this? And they keep pointing, you know, that direction. So finally he gets down to the Ghoshala. And he's asking around there, where is this devotee? And then this guy covered, you know, in cow dung and this, wearing a gumsha, doing, you know, the whole taking care of the cows and all that, comes forward and says, I'm that person. So he was shocked and insulted and this and that. But the point was, is even though he was so simple and just did that, he knew the philosophy perfectly and can explain it. So we're comfortable with that. But the point is if you have technical intelligence, this is where you apply it. If we only apply it into modern success theories, I don't see the results of that intelligence coming. And they've been trying it for 20 years. I don't see the results. You can say, oh yeah, nice meeting, everyone was there, went very smoothly, 1,000 devotees are there. And then what's the result? So unless you can teach them how to, that's there, okay, they're developing skills, great. Where's the seminars on nourishment of devotional service? Where are they? That see is how you talked when the truck went by. If you continued like that, we'd hear. So even though the truck goes by, talk that loud. It was good. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's guru. Because he's practicing devotional service, so he was illiterate.
Right. Well, that's phenomenal. And so I think a lot about the example.
Yes, and then you have Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then you have Bhakti Vinod Thakur, you have Baladev, Vishwanath, Narottam Das Thakur. You know, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So the point is you have, they're all great scholars. Now whether they're academic scholars or whether they're not, that's another thing. But scholarship is there from hearing. I can't read, but he can hear about Krishna. So he always carried books with him. I think Prarthana and, you know, the second? Which? Prema Bhakti Chandrika. These two books. And he would have, when devotees would come, he'd have them read them to him. And then they'd discuss them all. So therefore great scholars would come because he's chanting the holy name. Yes, if you sit down and chant the holy name all day, and then everything will be revealed.
Also, he was quite famous when there were some devotees, some discussions and disputes, and they couldn't come to conclusion, they would come to him and he would give
Siddhanta.
Yes. And there's one place, I can't recall unfortunately the reference, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one cannot chant Shuddhanam without proper understanding of Tattva.
Yes.
Krishna. So it's not possible. This is about relationship with Krishna. So if you don't understand the relationship with Krishna...
How do you chant? Yeah. Because if you don't know who you are, who the other person is, how do you have a relationship? You know what I'm saying? A little louder, louder. It's through the heart, but how is it going to get through the heart? It was just that he sat there and it manifested in the heart. He didn't do anything. He's not famous for doing anything. Did Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj do nothing? Listening, yes, but he's hearing and chanting all day. So he's doing something. So the point is, it's when Krishna is pleased by your sincere endeavor to in Krishna consciousness, then he reveals. The point is, so what are you going to engage? You're going to engage your nature in Krishna's service. So when you engage that, that's nice. So what we're saying here is that, but the engagement, if it's done along, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, this is the method for intellectually engaging yourself. Because other methods aren't actually very intellectual, as we pointed out. Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Okay, nice. Where's the conclusion? They don't have it. There are no conclusions in the whole modern academy. Tens of thousands of institutions, millions of individuals, piled high and deep of PhDs. You know, you could fill up a whole, you know, football stadium with them. And none of them has any conclusion. So how is that fully intellectual? They have 3 out of 5, great, but where's about the other 2? You understand? So it's not complete. Just like the 6 systems of Vedic philosophy, they're not complete. Only when you're dealing with Vyasadeva's Vedanta, that's complete. So we're not saying there's not something of value, but so many zeros only becomes valuable when you put a 1 in front. And so if you don't know Vedanta, you do not know how to put the 1 in front. You just can't know. We're not saying that you have to study Vedanta Sutra to do that. You have to study Bhagavatam. You have to study with the Acharyas. We're just going back to the root so that we understand how Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That's what this class is for. Does that make sense? Okay?
So, Gaudiya states in his book...
A little louder, please.
Gaudiya states in his book, One Lotus, or something, he states that one who knows Namatattva knows all tattvas.
Yes. But the point is if you know Namatattva, you know all tattvas, who is the name? Krishna. But the point is then, okay, it's just Krishna. Is there anything else involved? Sorry?
There's Om around.
Yeah, there's an Om around, throwing a cloud, you know, little few rays of light, you know, like that. Yeah. So are we involved? Okay, so there is 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair, and there's the holy name. Right? Is there anything else there? Yeah, so there's the energy. So there's us, there's the external energy, there's the internal potency. So in other words, if you know Namatattva, you know all because all are there. Not that, okay, I know that you should chant Hare Krishna, I know all. In one sense, yes, that's the conclusion. But to get into Namatattva, who's Krishna? And therefore you have the Dasamo, who's the Jiva, what's the energies? So what's the point? What's the process? What's the result? So the complete philosophy is there. That's what then Bhagavatam's explaining. Its root is in the Vedanta. Is that something? Yes. So this is just an aspect of that. Yes.
I have a question, Maharaj. From what I understand, the process of bhakti means following in the footsteps of the acharyas.
Yes.
And from what I understand, there are 2 types of acharyas from the discussion that we have, the Goshtiyanandis and Bhajanandis. And following in the footsteps of each of them has certain implications. So it appears that often a problem is that devotees, they cherry pick, and on certain aspects they... So to say, like to follow the Bhajanandis, and in certain aspects they, pick some Goshtiyanandi aspects which suit them, get the latest cell phone and fast internet connection.
That's the Nerdanandis.
And then when it comes to understanding philosophy, following the principles, Bhajanandi, that's sort of you don't care about.
In other words, philosophy is from the 60s, but application is from today. Like that. So how much they were taught then, that's all the more we're going to do. But on this side, I'll be very sophisticated. That's why Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion, when he's going through the 64 items, if you have lots of money and in your deity worship you don't spend it nicely on Krishna, then what's the meaning? So in the same way, you have lots of intelligence, lots of influence. If you don't use it connected to Krishna, what's the point? You know. So that's where all these things are connected.
Principle.
So, but then this resolves the problem. Jiva Goswami's definition of Goshtiyanandi is a group of Bhajanandis who get together and preach. Right? So in other words, they have good bhajan, and because of that, they're inspired. They go out and teach that to others. That's what we're talking about here. If you're not practicing, how do you get someone else to practice?
That's the meaning of prarakanuman, I guess. But yeah. For benefit of the others.
Yes.
Inspiration.
You're following it, therefore you can give it to others. Just like this. If you don't like cooking, can you teach it to others? Do you understand? So that's the whole thing. If you like practicing devotional service in the association of the devotees, you can give that to others. If you're only into professional, then unless you are a professional, you can't even give that to others. So that's the whole thing. So we have to understand is that that cultivation of devotional service, that's what we're trying to give. So we'll use all the preaching methods to attract, whatever the methods are, whatever's nice. But once they get, then you have to cultivate. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, then they stay attached to that method you use. That's why you have to be careful what methods you use. You can use these modern New Age stuff, but if you present it through the New Age flavor, they stay New Age devotees. And then at some point, they either have to move on or move out. They won't progress. But the point is the Vedic already includes all the New Age stuff. Whatever's a New Age, where did it come from? It comes from India. Right? I was just reading something the other day. It was talking about the original Chinese philosophies and scriptures. The earliest ones are written in Sanskrit. And I'm not saying I'm quoting from a Chinese writer in a book that's written in Chinese. I'm reading it translated. But they're talking about how those original scriptures were in Sanskrit. Right? So then, that's the whole thing. It's already there. So end here. A bit over time. Just a tad.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.